My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zakas of New South Wales, my cricket guide. We come to the T20 women's contest being played, World Championship, I believe is being played in South Africa right now. The Australia team is very strong. We've known this for weeks. They have outperformed everywhere they've been, sometimes lopsided victories. However, against the India team, it was very close. And in fact, the India team, if I understand correctly, had a chance to go ahead and win this, except the captain, and I read now the paragraph that identifies a surprise and an upset, so much so that the captain threw a bat because she was appalled. Cower, the captain, was run out in freakish fashion when she appeared to comfortably complete two runs after hitting the ball to the outfield. However, replays showed that her bat had jammed into the turf before the crease, with Elisa Healy whipping off the bales to find Cower short of her ground. Okay, Jeremy, I'm lost. Help me.
All right, John, let's start at the beginning. Now, this play, what had happened is basically the Australian bowler had bowled it down to Cower. She had hit the ball and it had gone a fair distance into the field. So it had gone far enough that it wasn't caught, that it wasn't stopped immediately, but not far enough to get four runs, which means you don't have to run. So then immediately after hitting the ball, she ran down to the other end, which is one run immediately. But having seen that it was so well placed and that she had actually hit into, I guess you could say, a hollow spot in the fielding side, so there was no Australian players still nearby it, she then ran back to the other end, which is the second run. So two runs in cricket is fairly rare because it means you've actually got the ball into a very good spot in the field. However, as she got down to the other end, the Australian side had the ball with them and was getting it back to the wickets because if you can hit the wicket she's running towards before she actually gets there, you can get her out. She's going to be run out. And so the ball's coming in. Cower's coming in like an absolute, an absolute train at speed. Everything's getting very, very hectic there. She manages to put the bat down on the ground. She has to get the bat across a white line, which is the crease, as we mentioned there. If that bat across the crease line and into the safe zone before the ball actually hits the wickets, she's completely safe. And what happened was she put her bat in. She estimated where the bat should be, thought she was in. The ball coming in for the Australian side, the Australians still played through. They hit the wickets with the ball, basically. So the catcher caught the ball and hit it against the wickets. And, you know, had a go at trying to get her out, even though everybody thought it was safe. But what had happened, John, as Cower, the Indian batter, had come into the crease to try and put the bat over that white line, she had misjudged it by a matter of only a few centimeters. So what she had done is she had dug the bat into just before the white line. And so what she thought was safe, when they looked at it on replay, which is what we call the third umpire, which is literally a television camera that goes back to an umpire off the field, they saw that she had missed literally by the space of only an inch to be in the safe zone. So when the Australians hit the wickets with the ball, they had actually got her out. So then, of course, she, not believing this, had a temper tantrum, I guess you could say, and threw the bat in disgust. And again, we're here with another controversy in cricket. So, John, this was an amazing play to start with. The Australians won, and there was a temper tantrum.
Yes, it was a very close score. Now, let me understand this. You carry the bat when you run? Is that what you do?
Yes, and that's something I should explain too, because unlike baseball where you throw the bat away, the batters continue to hold onto the bat when they run between the wickets. So the bat itself acts as an instrument, so you don't have to have your whole body against that white line, which is called the crease. You can just put the bat across it. As long as a part of your body or the bat is across that white line, you're back in safe territory.
I see. So a Cower, the India player, runs down to the first wickets and she has 1 point. She sees that the ball she's hit has not been well played, and she now dashes back to make a second run, which means she would still be up. She would continue to bat. And she gets close, and instead of touching the bat over the crease. She touches the bat under the crease and leaves it there, or just touches it before the crease? It's where you touch that matters. That's what I don't understand.
That's exactly right, John. And I think it may have been unintentional, because on the replay, as she puts the bat in, what most cricketers do when the ball's coming in, and you can physically see the ball heading towards you if you're trying to run to another wicket, and you know you have to speed up and you know you have to reach out to get the bat across the line. As she put it in, she tried to skid it, but the ground was undulating. It wasn't exactly the best pitch. So the bat actually jammed into the ground. You can imagine it just nosed in and it stopped short, but she still thought she had actually gone across that white line. But she hadn't. The bat had stopped and nosed in just before the white line. So in, I guess, her haste and confusion, she'd never actually looked down and noticed that it hadn't actually gone across the line. So by the time the ball had come across and her actual physical body had crossed the line and she actually had a part of her body touching across the white line in that safe zone, it was all over. Basically, she had been run out.
And the Australia team, the T20 team, the fast cricket, they win the day and they go on to the playoffs. They continue. I understand now. So you carry the bat down. You make a decision quickly for the second run. You have to get back and touch your bat on the other side of the crease, and there's the second run. You don't have to be there physically, just the bat, correct? Just the bat.
That's absolutely correct. It's the bat that mainly ends up being the instrument, because as you go down the other end too, you can touch the bat inside the line and then run back. So you gain a bit of ground if you reach far enough and don't actually have to get your body so close.
I wondered about that, because they do it very fast. And I wondered, well, all right, he's inside the crease. Now he turns around and goes back, because the momentum usually carries you over the crease line. But it's the bat touching, and then you turn around and carry the bat back to the other side. Jeremy, can you do three runs? Could you go up, back, and then one more time if you think they've misplayed the ball?
You can actually do as many runs as it will allow. Three runs are extremely rare at T20, or certainly test cricket standard, only because of the fact that the speed at which the ball generally comes back to the pitch is very quick. But it has been done before, and normally the situation where it happens is basically the same situation where you've had somebody that's been able to get two runs, but as the ball's returning to that wicket, there's been an overthrow, and the overthrow is so severe that it's gone far enough into, I guess you could say, another hollow in the field, that they get a third run in. So, but you know, if they keep misthrowing all day, you could have unlimited runs based off a single play. But it's, I mean, honestly, I think in the maybe the last few years, I can only remember a handful of three-run plays, but it can happen. It really can. And that's when it gets exciting.
What I'm learning, Jeremy, is when cricket comes to America, we'll like the game. I mean, it's clearly got a lot of thinking behind it. We need explanations, because it's not obvious. Everybody who knows cricket goes, well, didn't you know this, John? You just have to touch the bat. I didn't know it. It wasn't written down anywhere. And so I'm learning that the bat is more important than the person. Much more. And when I watch them hit those long balls, you know, for six, or hit the backfield for four, when I watch that, I think, well, that's what the batting's all about, you know, just hitting it very far. But it's not. The bat itself is a player.
And that's true. And this is the interesting part too, John. Some players purposely have a longer bat. A longer bat is harder to actually hit a ball with, and it's harder to control where the ball's going. But they use it because they know when it comes to running, and especially if they're a taller person, the longer bat will give them maybe 2 or 3 feet extra at each end. And you know, and as you mentioned there, the momentum will keep them going slightly after the bat goes through the crease, but they still have that 2 to 3 foot advantage, which in a split second play like the one we've just spoken about, that can make the difference between staying in or going out.
Do you have to touch the ground, or is it just the bat crosses the crease?
No, that's right. You must touch the ground as well. So you can't just, I guess, throw the bat forward and get it in the air. It actually has to be you holding the bat with the bat touching inside the crease.
So everybody who knows cricket is nodding their heads going, John, you're asking simple-minded questions. But I'm learning. Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales. Everything in Australia is exotic and will try to kill you, except the bat. You have control of the bat when you're playing cricket. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giants clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.